Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish. They all ate as much as they wanted. Somebody say, everything that I want. Verse 12, after everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. Somebody say, nothing wasted. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, my nothing wasted era is happening right now. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For the last 4 weeks, we have been tearing down the lie that your leftovers or the wasted or the so-called wasted season of our lives, that they don't matter, that they have been forgotten. But we see through the words of Christ and through the actions of Christ when he fed the 5,000 men and their families that God cares about every drop of your life. Not just church time, all time. Not just your marriage, but the relationships with your children, with your coworkers, with your community. Not just the money that goes to church. He cares about how you spend your money elsewhere. It's called stewardship. We can't be flying to Vegas and putting it all on the roulette wheel and not paying our bills. We can't be spending it all on Gucci and Louis Vuitton and not taking care of our children's future. He cares about every part of our lives. But we've been mainly focused on the parts that we don't give God a lot of credit for and the broken pieces, and we all have them. Some of us have gotten really good at hiding our broken pieces, hiding parts of our testimony, but everything is valuable when you put it in the hand of God. Jesus doesn't mind the broken pieces as long as he gets every one of them. Your fragments are not shame. Your fragments are seed in his hand. And the miracle of the fish and loaves did not happen until it was surrendered. Obedience in that surrender is what activated the multiplication in that little boy's Happy Meal lunch. God multiplies not only for impacting you and I, or he does it to impact you and I, but so much more. He does not bless you just so that everybody else can see you blessed. He blesses you, yes, to be a blessing to you, but he blesses you so that you can in turn be a blessing and make a bigger impact for kingdom. So you can pray about being a billionaire all of your life, but the only reason if you have to be a billionaire is to live in the Dominion and drive a Bugatti, chances are you're not going to be a billionaire. But if you say, God, when you bless me, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to build an orphanage, and I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm going to make sure that everybody hears about Jesus. Now God is more inclined to meet that need and give you that desire, because it's not just about impacting and displaying in your life, but it's so much bigger than us. Miracles are never just for us, they're for the crowd. Provision is personal, but multiplication of that provision is missional. And last week we talked about from broken to overflowing, that Jesus breaks what he intends to multiply. God never breaks to destroy you. He breaks to destroy the devil's power off of your life. And there's a lot of us that want the blessing, but we want to go around the breaking and we avoid the breaking. But in the breaking is where the blessing happened. When he began to break apart the fish and break apart the bread, that is when the multiplication really happened. And that overflow is proof that God is in the middle of your life and he will use the things that tried to crush you, because the crushing season is what produces the oil season, which brings us to today. Nothing lost, nothing missing. When you leave this place today, I want us to have the testimony of the 10th leper. Not only did God heal us, he restored and made us whole. I don't want you to have one incomplete part of your life, because if there is an incomplete part of your life, then that is a damaging testimony on the goodness of God. I want all of us to be able to say, I've been through some hell, but God was with me every step of the way. And through that crushing season came the oil of my life. And that anointing has made sure that every one of my needs was met. And anytime I needed something from God, I didn't find it outside. I found it inside of the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus multiplied and then he preserves. He is not a God of waste. God will not waste not one moment of your life. If you've been through it, it has purpose. If it hurts you, it still has purpose. If you'd like to move on and forget about it, it still has purpose. And can I just encourage us with this thought? If you want to move past it because it hurts you, again, you are looking only at yourself. But what if the thing that you are trying to move past, forget about, and avoid, what if that testimony brings Jesus to hundreds or thousands? What if the people you grew up with, when they hear what Jesus did in the crushing season of your life, and you didn't allow that to be wasted, but you said, God, here's my past, the good, the hurt, the ugly part. Here it is, I placed in your hands. And God says, wait till I repackage this. All things will work together for the good because you love me and you are about my purpose. Somebody say, nothing wasted, nothing lost, nothing missing. He is not a God of waste. He is a God of stewardship. He doesn't just bless you. I was shocked and appalled when I was a young man and I grew up eating nice Cajun food, shrimp and etouffee and jambalaya and all of those great foods. And I love shrimp. And I'm like Forrest Gump and Bubba Gump. You can fry them, you can boil them, you can put them, whatever. I'll eat any shrimp. And I remember when I was eating shrimp with the tails, I would eat the shrimp, pull the tail and set it off. I was shocked and appalled when Bishop reached across the table, grabbed that tail. That must be a 1940s, 50s, and 60s thing. That's my father-in-law over there, y'all. Ron, you've never done that on my plate, have you? We're not that close yet, are we? It's been 23 years. It might be another 23 before we can get that close. Nothing wasted. I ate what I thought was the only edible part. Evidently, I was wrong. I've been seeing ads on Facebook that says, you're not paying $16 a pound for crab. You're paying $65 a pound for crab because the weight they're charging you for is the part you don't eat. There's a lot of value in our lives that we are missing because we do not value it. Doesn't mean that God does not value it. Nothing wasted. If he allowed it, he has a plan for it. If he multiplied it, he intends to maintain it, which is where we're going to get for the next few moments. Number one, God is intentional with increase. Somebody say increase. That is when God brings you more. So when our prayer is, God, I want more, and God gives us more, he is intentional with that more, that when he gives it, he doesn't want it to be spent or to be given all away at once, that he wants us to be able to maintain and manage the miracle that he has given us. Can I just preach this for a minute? And it's been a little while since I've talked about it. We wouldn't need as many miracles as we pray for if we learn how to manage the miracle that God gave us last year. But God does something in January and February, and we use it up, and we do not steward what God did in the feeding of the 5,000. And then we come back to God saying, God, when are you going to give me another miracle? And God's like, didn't I just give you a miracle yesterday, last week, last month? It's kind of like when we used to go to the arcade, when they had those arcades, and your parents would give you $10, and you'd go through that $10 in about 2 minutes. You'd come back saying, can I have more? And they're thinking, $10, that's four quarters, that's 40 quarters. You played 40 games and lost already? We start learning from a very young age that there is always someone with more so I can spend what I have because I can always run back and get more. Some of us, our prayer does not need to be, God, give me more. Our prayer needs to be, God, help me manage. Help me steward what you have given me. John chapter 6, verse 12, and after everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. Verse 13, so they picked up the pieces. They picked up the shrimp tails, Ron. They picked up the fish bones. They picked up the scales. They picked up the two end pieces off of those loaves of bread and filled 12 basketfuls. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking baskets, but they could have been baskets. But at the end of the day, Jesus said, I'm going to keep breaking and I'm going to keep blessing as long as you keep eating. And then I'm going to make sure that I make more than you need so that you can pack a to-go plate. And so that, listen to this, and so that you always have a seed the next time you need a miracle. So the next time you're hungry, you don't have to come to me. You can go to the seed that I left in your hand and say, God, I had everything I needed to in that moment, but I'm going to get hungry again tomorrow morning. But look what I got. I got a basket full of seed and fragments so that the next time I get hungry, I already have what I need for my next meal or miracle. Notice the miracle was over, but the management was just beginning. How many of you, and don't say this in faith, I want a real answer right now by show of hands. How many of you received a bona fide miracle in 2025? Just raise your hand. Bona fide miracle. Okay, now's a rhetorical question. How are you managing that miracle? You managing it well? Or have you gone right back to where you were when you needed the miracle? Which means now your expectations is for God to do in 2026 what he already did in 2025. Which means now you are a year behind God's plan for your life. I'm talking to somebody today, and I know this is hard to hear. You are behind. You are behind, not compared to other people. You are behind on God's timetable because we keep getting miracles and we refuse to manage them. And then we go back and pray for the same miracle that we refuse to manage. Then we go back and pray for the same miracle that we refuse to manage. And we make all of these excuses. And God is saying, you're asking for the same thing again? I want to do bigger, better, more anointed things in your life. And you keep asking for bread when I have given you everything you need for a bakery. Oh, it's getting quiet. That's all right. The same Jesus, write this down. It's not going to be on the screen. The same Jesus who multiplied bread also commands and demands accountability. What did you do with the bread I gave you? What do you plan to do with the bread I'm going to give you? If either one of my kids came up to me and said, Dad, I need $10,000. I'm not going to just blanketly say no. Probably will, but not blanketly. I will not say a blanket yes. What will be the question I ask? What do you need it for? Because the Father commands and demands accountability from his children. We are raising a church, not at Living Way, but there's some that have creeped in at Living Way. We are raising a church in the Western world that wants zero accountability and responsibility for their life. And the moment we call them onto the carpet for foolishness, the moment we call them to the standard that God has set for them, they want to cry church hurt, and they want to talk about deconstructing. And I'm not here to say that people haven't or needed to deconstruct, and I'm not here to say that church hurt is not real, but I am here to say that there are some big babies in the church today that it is not church hurt. It is a lack of accountability. And you are mad because God is asking you, what did you do with the last miracle that I gave you? I made sure that you were left with enough for the next thing and next season that you needed. Provision without preservation produces poverty. Provision without preserving it, preservation produces poverty. We Pentecostals love to shout about the overflow, but Jesus watches what we do with the leftovers. We shout about, oh God, give me more, and God bless me with this, and ooh, look at this, I got an $8,000 tax refund. Now, number one, I'm not gonna say that wasn't God's blessing. You work for that money, y'all. You know that, right? When you get a refund, you should be surprised when you don't get a refund because you paid in all year long. But what Jesus does is he looks at not the miracle. That is now past. It is already being digested. He's looking at, let me see how they handle what is left over. Let me see how they handle the small things, the insignificant things. Most preachers preach the following, church. Most preachers preach the 12 baskets of fragments that were left over, were gathered, and that every disciple went home with a basket. I've been to those conferences. I've even had to amen and applaud and raise my hand, all talking about the overflow. The only problem is that's just a preacher reaching into the text and saying what he wants to. The Bible does not say the disciples ended up with the baskets. Doesn't say that. I need 12 people to join me on this stage right now. Come on, 12. I need 12. Come on, Angie. Come on, Alina. Come on, Estevan. Come on, Big Dave. 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Where's Judas? There he is. No, just kidding. Come on. No, come on. Come on, Jake. I got 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, he wasn't Judas. Judas, where are you? Josh, come on. Both of y'all come. Josh, you come. No, Josh, come on, come on. Zakari, come stand over here. Come on, man, you walked up here with all this vibe. Don't act shy now. You up here doing the Carlton during praise and worship. Don't act shy now, son. Here, stand right here. I need you to separate from them. All right, bring me those baskets real quick. Take one basket and pass it down. Zakari, you don't get one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 10, 11, 12. This is what makes sense in the flesh. 12 disciples, 12 basketfuls, 12 tribes. It just makes sense in our numerology. 12 of Jesus' disciples, there's 12 basketfuls left over. Each disciple gets a basket. It's not in your Bible. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus does not reward a lack of faith. All of them had a lack of faith. This one said, let's send them into town. We don't have any food for them. This one said, all we found was 2 fish and 5 loaves. This one said, God, there's 5,000 men and their families. How are you going to feed them? This one said, why isn't the government taking care of them? This one over here said, why didn't they bring their own food? This one said, I saw them bring their own food and they already ate it. Why would God reward 12 disciples that have no faith when God says, no, 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 the ones I'm watching are how they handle the leftovers. And I'm here to encourage somebody in the room today. If you have given something to God in a sacrificial season of your life, if you've gone through the breaking season and the blessing season, and you said, God, I could have ate it, but I didn't eat it. God, I could have filled my belly, but I gave it to you so that many people could be encouraged and fed and filled. God, I gave it to you. God says, you don't get a basket. You don't get a basket. I'm giving the baskets to the young man that brought the food. You get that basket. You get that. You don't get that basket. Are you kidding me? Why would you get a basket? You don't get a basket. Why would you? You know what? You go give him the basket. Everybody, Zaccardi. The young man who gave the 2 fish and 5 loaves, he's the only one that makes sense when you look at the things of God and the Word of God. That's the only one that deserves to go home with the 12 basketfuls of leftover. Why? He's the only one who sacrificed when others did not sacrifice. He's the only one who could have ate it but didn't eat the seed and said, God, I'm going to place it in your hand. And now look at what the Lord has done. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. 13 people. Thank you. And forgive me for what I said about each of you. You're amazing disciples. You're full of faith. Zaccardi, before you put those buckets down, can you take a second offering? Go ahead and just round it up. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh, he's going. He's going. I believe because of Jesus' history, 12 faithless disciples don't get the leftovers. They don't get the overflow. Here's what I love about Jesus. He said, you can eat, but you'll be hungry again because you didn't have faith. Little boy, you ate, and you get 12 basketfuls. Imagine when that little boy went home, if mom and dad hadn't shown up in the wilderness, and he said, you'll never guess what happened. And they asked, how was the food? He said, I don't know how the food you gave me was, but because I gave that to Jesus. What do you mean you gave that to Jesus? Oh, I gave it to Jesus. But let me tell you what he did. He began to reach in that basket, and he began to break, and he began to bless. And what I thought was little, he fed 20,000 people. And that's not just alone what he did. After he fed 20,000 people, and everybody was in food comas, and everybody was taking naps, Jesus began to collect the rest of what was left over. And can you believe of what you sent me, 12 basketfuls were left over. Not only that, can you believe they're all sitting on the front porch for our family? All because I did not eat what I could have eaten, and I did not hold what I could have held. I said, God, it might not be much in my hand, but I'm gonna put it in your hand. Mark chapter 6, let's go further. This is furthering the point. The disciples didn't get the bread. Right after Jesus feeds the 5,000 in Mark's account, he puts the disciples in a boat, and this is where Jesus walks on water. Verse 50, we'll pick it up in this story. They were all terrified. I got 4 minutes left. They were all terrified when they saw Jesus. Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I am here. Then he climbed into the boat, the wind stopped, and they were totally amazed. But verse 52, this is powerful, y'all. For they still did not understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. They thought they saw a ghost. They are scared out of their mind. They have watched Peter walk on water. They are now back in the boat with Jesus, and they're still thinking about the bread. They've just seen Jesus walk on water and faithless Peter for most of his life. And they're still saying, what about those loaves? You think they would have been talking about the loaves if they were stacked in the boat? Wonder who went home with the loaves. Did not understand. Let's go further. John 6, verse 26. This is back to John's account of this story. Jesus replied, this is after the feeding of the 5,000, after he has walked on water. You continue to go down, verse 26, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you. Not because you understand the miraculous signs. Jesus calls them out for falling in love with his hand, but not his heart. His hand, but not his presence. John 6, verse 35, Jesus replied, just a little further in the same chapter, all of this is going on. I am the bread of life. You 12 disciples, you saw me break bread, and you didn't realize the bread was breaking bread. You thought you were going to drown on the Sea of Galilee. You didn't understand the miracle worker, the bread of life. You were still thinking about the bread. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, here it is, will never be hungry again. He who comes to me will never be thirsty again. I've got just a couple minutes left here. Here's the thing, church. If it's only about you getting your fill, and it's only about you, you're always going to be hungry again. And the problem with continual hunger is you'll get hungry enough that you'll eat anything. I'm very particular about what I like to eat, but I fasted enough to know that after a fast, I'm so hungry, I will eat Brussels sprouts. Pastor Mandy loves her some Brussels sprouts. I hate them for two reasons. They don't taste good and they stink up the refrigerator. But I've been hungry enough that I would eat it. Some of you are in relationships that you should not be in because you're just so hungry for relationships. Some of you are doing things that you would never do, but you are so hungry for money that you're doing things that you know under normal circumstances you wouldn't do. He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, come to me, you'll never hunger or thirst again. Jesus declares, I am the bread, which makes all of this. Read chapter 6 in your own time. Read the entire chapter. It's all about bread. But as we progress through the chapter, Jesus is weaning them off of physical bread. And he's saying, I'm the only bread you'll ever need. Bring me the pieces and let me be the bread of your life. Restoration is a kingdom promise. I'm out of time, but let me go here. Joel chapter 2, 25. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Job chapter 42, verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Job was left with pieces, but he gave those pieces to God, and God said, I'll give you double for your trouble. When did Job receive restoration? It says here in Job verse chapter 42, verse 10, when he prayed for his friends. I would call those friends enemies. But I'm glad that Job, in the book of Job, it calls these three men that tried to get him to give up on God. I'm glad that he calls them friends. You know why I'm glad that he calls them friends? Because you've got enemies you call friends. You got people in your life that should not be in your life, yet you call them friend. But listen, when the restoration happens, not when you cuss them out, when you pray for them. He says restoration comes. Job did not get a replacement. He got increase. God does not just heal wounds, he restores years. Only God can step in your past and redeem what the enemy tried to erase. I love this statement. The enemy may steal seasons, but he cannot cancel destiny. He might have stole a week of your life, a year of your life, 10 years of your life, and you might be lamenting, I wish I had that 10 years back. Can I remind you, you've got eternity on the line with Jesus. And God said, I will restore. Stand on your feet. Delay is not denial. Loss is not final. What hell meant to diminish in you, heaven will use to double you. And finally, your story is proof that nothing is wasted. Revelation 12, 11, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. They overcame by the blood and their testimony. The blood saves you, but your story in every piece silences Satan. The blood saved you, but your testimony silences the enemy. Because he would love to embarrass you with your past, but you out here talking about your past and saying, look at what the Lord has done. The enemy would like to remind you of who you used to be, and you're out here saying, yeah, that's who I used to be, but look at what the blood of Jesus did in my life. Look at what the power of the Holy Spirit did in me. Isaiah 61, verse 3, 30 more seconds, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Ashes speak of what was burned, but God gives beauty. He doesn't just cover ashes, he transforms them. Doesn't just lift heaviness, he replaces it with praise. You didn't go through everything that you have been through for nothing, church. If you're still standing, it means God is still working. If you're still moving, it means God is still working. If you're still breathing, it means that God is still working. Heads up, if you're still hurting, it means that God is still working and moving in your life. Nothing is wasted. This altar is open for you. Nothing is wasted. Join us right now and lay that wasted thing, that thing that you thought was waste, lay it on the altar. Bring that relationship. Bring that 3 years that you say, I don't know why I was with her. I don't know why I wasted it with him. Those 3 years, the devil might have stole them from you, but that is not your destiny. You are still, praise God, on track for what God has for you to be, to do, and the place he's called you to inhabit. This is your word today, church. If you're watching online, this is a word for you right now. You're sitting there in your apartment and you're thinking, what a waste. And God is saying, man, that is seed for your future. Do not forget what God has promised you. We've got a half a dozen or so in this altar right now, fathers with sons, men on their knees and face before God. But I want to encourage everyone in this room before we go any further. We're talking about life and death. We're talking about Jesus, eternal, or eternity without him. We're talking about power with him and his spirit, or a life void of that power. This is your moment to join us in this altar. God bless you, ladies, as you come. If you're in this room, this is your moment. If you've got an addiction in your life that you're ready to be broken, I'm talking to you. Don't let this altar ask. Don't let me say it so many times that it loses power. You've been putting something down your throat, up your nose, or in your veins that's robbing you from God's best. It's robbing you from God using the broken and the overflow and leftover pieces. You want to be like Zicardi. You want to walk out with everything God has for you. And the only way that happens is to relinquish every seed and every piece into God's hands. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in another tongue, that's the book of Acts. Everything we do and believe here is straight out of the Bible. And nothing that happened in the New Testament has ended. This is your moment. This is your day. There is a baptistry that is full of warm water. Our heater is on for you today because we want to baptize you, praise God. We don't want you to wait for another day. We don't want you to wait till camp or conference or the men's retreat. Right here, right now, this is a moment for you to say, God, here's a part of my life that I've been withholding. Let me put it in your hands. Every piece. Every surrender, every scar, every season, nothing has been wasted. I'm going to put this microphone down. I'm going to begin to pray with those in this altar. If you need anything, this is your moment.